You're listening to the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott, providing you inspiration, information, knowledge, and motivation to help you on your soul's path, covering topics related to health and happiness from the mystical to the metaphysical and everything in between, making the unknown known. Now let's join the podcast to discover today's topic. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This is the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Mr. Michael Philpott, and I got my good buddy, Cheryl Kraft, here today. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. I have an idea of what we're going to talk about the soul's journey, about your journey and things like that, but we may just go off on a tangent, which normally if we're talking on the phone, we always have that. But Cheryl, before I get started, I always like to say thank you to all my listeners, those listening on Spotify and Apple. If you're listening on Apple, give me a 5-star, let the algorithm know that I exist so that this information can get passed on to other people that may find it helpful, useful, and inspirational too as well. And you can also watch this video. So for those who are watching the YouTube video, yes, I do have a YouTube channel. Do me a favor, like, subscribe. Really need those subscriptions, need your love that way. And also too, if you'd like to be part of my team here, you want to be a soul donator, if you want to help out and donate to the cause, you can do that too as well. Each episode description has a donation button, and you, the listener, are the ones who are donating to the show. So again, I appreciate all your help. And that being said, Cheryl, I'm going to leave the show to you while I just have some liquid libations here to wet my whistle.
Hello, Michael. Just so you know, nobody calls me Cheryl anymore. It's just Opie.
You know, that's what happens when you become successful. Your nickname starts. Nobody knows who you are. It's actually good, though.
I've changed my name. I'm in the process of it. So we are officially Opie moving forward, because everybody's always dwelling, how do I call you, Cheryl or Opie? And to me, Cheryl was back in the day. She was the abuse victim without a voice. And Opie is the limitless possibilities, girl.
I'm still going to call you probably Cheryl, even though you go by Opie. Like, that's your, like, it's like you're like a movie star, right? You know, a movie star has changed their name and stuff like that. And that's what's happening with you now. You know, everything's changing. So
you're my second husband, and my husband says the same thing. So
I've been called the boyfriend, because I have a lot of friends who are women, and they usually have husbands, stuff like that. I'm usually like this, they call them like the boyfriend. Oh, well, that's my boyfriend. Don't worry about that. I have a good friend of mine. She always laughs because the three of us are always together, and it's hilarious. And she goes, well, who's your husband? She goes, that. Well, who's that? She goes, that's my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they had this really weird look. So again, they know, if you're listening, you know who you are. But anyways, it's always funny. So the second husband, that's hilarious. Your husband is awesome. I love Jason. He's such a...
Thank you.
Is he going to have a change name now too as well? Or do we have to call him something else?
I always call him Jason, just for fun.
Jason. That's so French. I love that, you know? Yeah, you know what's really interesting? Before the show, I was trying to figure out how we met, because, be honest with you, Cheryl, it seems like I've known you my entire life. Now, it's like this really deep soul connection where, like, once we got connected, it was like, yeah, you're like my soul sister. And I could imagine you not in my life. And it was just weird. I was like, do you remember how we got connected? Because I'm struggling to figure that out. Because I was like, did we connect to the show? Or how did
Let
we get connected?
Let me tell you, Michael.
Well, please remind me, you know, because I'm a guy, we don't remember shit, right? So.
Right. So when I first opened up, I was Googling psychic mediums, and I connected to Marianne Kennedy, and I started watching some of her interviews online, which connected me to spiritual superpowers. And I was really drawn to Dawn and Karen, and they had done an interview with you. And with that, I was like, oh my gosh, I can book with this guy. He's like, this is wild. So I reached out and booked with you. And within the first 5 minutes, you had me bawling. And
I don't know if that's a good thing to be telling.
It was such a good thing, because that means you were so honed in. And I have to tell you, I explore a lot of intuitives, and there's only like three that have ever connected to me on that kind of soul level. And at the end, you were like, I was asking if you could mentor at all, and you were like, yeah, let's connect. I'll help you out with some pieces. And from there, we were like brother and sister bound.
Yeah. Okay. So it was that, because I wasn't sure if I did a reading for you first, or is it just through the mutual connections through Don and Karen?
And you know what? It was about 2 years ago now.
Has it been that long? It just, it really 2 years. It just feels like it. Honestly, it feels like, you know, 10 years.
Yeah. But I was just thinking about this actually this morning, because I was thinking about it myself, and it's been 2 years now that we have been growing, going through it, exploring stuff, bouncing things back and forth. It's been wild. And the funny thing a lot of people don't probably know is I'm in Saskatchewan, Michael's in Ontario. So for the chances of me to connect to my Ontario peeps, like, oh, ow.
Yeah.
And we got to meet in person last year at the Halo Awards.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember that. It was such a weird time. It really was, because as a lot of people may have noticed, I was battling cancer at that time. And it was funny because you were the only person I had really kind of told at that time. And nobody knew when I was diagnosed at that time. And we were at the Halo Awards, and it's funny because I was in a room full of psychics. Nobody knew except for you, because I actually, I had to kind of had to start telling people that what was going on. But yeah, it was such an odd time. It was beautiful. Of course, I get to meet you. I get to meet everybody else. And it was lovely to be honored in a way that your fellow peers, especially the work that we do, is sometimes it gets very underappreciated for this actual stuff we do, which was, very, very telling. But it was such a kind of a fun event at the same time, and everybody was there. And of course, you were there, and you made your way all the way out from Saskatchewan, which was great. Because you know what? It's interesting. You have your Ontario peeps here. I have my Saskatchewan peeps. It's like this weird thing, isn't it? It's like, I know so many, and that's all because of you. Yes. I'm gonna blame you for everything. It's like, and that's it. It's all your fault.
Don saying to Karen, there's this person in Saskatchewan that keeps blowing up our channel right now. Opie the connector, right? I love connecting people.
Well, that's kind of that's your stick. That's who you are. That's what you do. You connect spirit from people from the other side over. Yeah. So this is one of the things I really wanted to discuss about, have you back on anyways, because the original episode that we did, again, you can scroll back and Cheryl was on it, and we talked about forensic mediumship and your work with that, which was such a powerful episode. And I really enjoyed it too. It was really good to see a different aspect of mediumship. But I was always curious because, a lot of people go through a journey and they really don't find out what their, what makes them tick or what's part of their soul's journey. Because this is one of the things, when did you know that, okay, I want to start doing this full time? Because you kind of had you're a busy mom. Mm-hmm. You got Jason, the husband, you guys are working, you both had two jobs, you're trying to figure out life, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, because you had a fairly, busy job. And then how did you decide, okay, I want to leave this. There's a soul's calling. I need to start doing what my soul's been itching for me to do.
Well, it's interesting because even as a kid, I always knew I had a bigger journey. I always had these daydreams, these ideas, these concepts, but I never knew what it was. I've done multiple things in my life, a lot of construction, a lot of sales, retail, a lot of different, there isn't much job stuff I haven't explored, right? So at that point, I was working for 10 years at the federal government, and I really loved my job because I worked for a department with the First Nations Inuit Health, and we assisted people in connecting to medical services, different things like that. At that point, I was in vision and I had been there for quite a while, and I needed a timeout from a coworker that was at my hip for many years. That was quite extensive lessons.
That's a very polite way of saying.
Right? There was just a lot of lessons with that beautiful soul. I mean, I give gratitude to it now, but in it, it was just like never ending. And at that point, I had been about a year into my journey doing it part-time. And I was trying to find the balance. I was trying to get, the 3 days with the federal government and then 3 days doing the mediumship. But a lot of people don't recognize if we aren't rested, we can't do our work. And having, I had a year and a half, I guess 2-year-old at that point. I had a child that was intense special needs with emotional stuff. I had a older son who was engaging in addiction behaviors and at that point had been left the house and disconnected contact with us. And it was just so much intensity everywhere. And I started to get momentum with my clients. So I was like, I got to a point where I looked at Jason and I had a rough day at work. I looked at him and I said, I have to put my resignation in. And he looked at me and he said, I'm so excited for you. You've got this. I know we can make this work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, see that there, like that to me, that's why I love your husband. Because right? Like most husbands would probably go, what do you mean you're quitting your cushy government job? What do you mean? Now, I like, because that's a risk.
Yeah.
The fact that he's willing to support you on your dreams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, kudos to him. Like that is absolutely fantastic.
And let's also acknowledge too, a lot of people who are doing this full time have a partner that can financially support the family in a full capacity. We are very much working class. We don't have savings. We don't have stability in a lot of ways. So it is a risk. And it's going to impact us taking on those extra expenses and different things like that, right? So it's putting us, but he didn't even bring that into the conversation at any point. It was just like, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's see that there and like having that support system can is most probably the most valuable thing that a person could have, especially when they're entering into, especially any type of new job, but in this type of work, because there is so many variables. And again, it is self-employed, like, and it's a struggle for those who are listening, who are, you know, trying to live their dreams, trying to develop a small business, because we are kind of small business, you know, owners in some ways. And we're trying to, you know, help people using our gifts, but there is a lot of challenges along the way in doing this. And again, sometimes you don't get recognized for the work that you do. And some people don't see the value in what we do. And because that could be very troublesome too. So what was this next step? Okay, you decided, you know, you and Jason are on the same plan. You got the idea. So what happens next? Like, do you start taking more courses? Like, what were you doing then afterwards?
Well, I did take a lot more courses. I really love learning. And I love pushing myself into a lot of different directions. So at this point, I had to heal, which is a little frustrating because it feels like a step back. But I literally had to take a couple weeks and stare at a wall. But I find that anytime that we want to do that, all of a sudden we get all the 911 calls. And a lot of people don't realize this, but with our work, you're not 9 to 5.
Yeah.
You are from 5 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night, and you are trying at all points to be present with your family, but also be present with your work, right? It's hard to create boundaries until you're in a position to have boundaries.
Yeah, because you just want to take on anything because you don't want to say no. At the same time, I mean, and most of us are all people pleasers anyways, and we have a difficult time with boundaries because, you know, it is. That's part of our learning lessons. I'm looking in the mirror right now myself, you know, especially, but is it important because you're building that clientele, right? So there are going to be times where, you know, if somebody calls, oh, I need a reading, can you do it? And part of you want to kind of say no, but then there's the other part who says, you know, this is part of what I wanted to do. So how did you manage and balance that?
Well, the 911 calls of missing persons, those ones I accommodated, the ones, you know, all of a sudden with their loved ones about to transition, I'm going to assist them on supporting them with the emotional aspects of that, right? I guess the side pieces really are the interviews, the group reads, the different things like that, because you're wanting the exposure, you're wanting to get out there, you're wanting to connect with people, because I'm in Regina. Everything's word of mouth. I'm very new. Everybody has their established peeps. So to explore me is a new thing, right? So you have to hit the floor running, getting yourself out there every single way possible. And I did things a little bit different than other people.
Well, talk about that. Yeah. Talk about what you were doing different.
So a lot of people will go to the holistic fairs or the health fairs, different things like that, where their people or communities are there. I did entrepreneur stuff. I did B&I groups. I did networking groups. I did beauty fairs, right? Salon peeps, right? Everybody doesn't look at that, but who do you talk to all the time? Your hairdresser, your nail person, who do you see regularly, right? So being able to give them an experience in their environment that they can share with their community, that is a great way to get traction in a place that doesn't usually have that communication happening. That is a new, exciting thing. So a lot of people stick to the safe areas that we're welcome at. And I wanted to push myself into areas that people were doubtful of psychic mediums. I want to go for the people who want to explore this, who want to believe. And I think that set me kind of out of the box a little quicker than most.
I really like that because, you know, it's very stereotypical because hairdressers love to talk.
Yeah.
And they do talk. They have, because everybody's sitting down, they have a, you know, captivated audience.
Yeah.
For depending on, again, if, again, this is a guy experience, we're only there, yeah, for 20 minutes to a half hour. We're not there for a whole day or an hour or two, yeah, hours, depending on what you're getting done. But they have a captivated audience. You know, it's like, oh, you know, did you hear about this Opie girl? Like, oh my God, she does amazing readings on us and blah, blah, blah. And that's a beautiful way of doing it, which was so fantastic because, you know, most people wouldn't think about that. Again, it's the safe traditional way that we go to the fairs and people go, oh, because you're, you know, people accept you is that, but I really commend, yeah, you on that because that's amazing. Cause I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah. And people are scared. Like even when you do it full time, a lot of the psychic mediums I talk to always dread the question of what do you do?
I've been realizing that lately. I sometimes I default and I, yeah, don't realizing I'm defaulting. But it's actually interesting today because I actually was out of the coffee shop and I was having a cup of coffee and the barista, we were just kind of chatting and she just said, so what do you do? And it just flowed out. It was like, you know, cause I didn't have to think about it. Just, oh, I'm a psychic medium. She looked at me like, what? And it's like, and she goes, no. And I go, yes. Like, I had to show her my phone and my Instagram account. It's like, here I am. But the old me, like still there is parts of me, depending on where I am, I was like, I'll just say, oh yeah, I'm a, you know, Brandon sales ambassador. You know, I worked in television. This is what I blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's kind of like default. And then it's like, wait a minute, that was the old you. Like you used to do that. I mean, I still do it once in a blue moon, but it's very rare. And it's like, why not just say like, this is who you are. That's what you're doing. So, but that's me just learning, you know, expressing my throat chakra as I've been told to express it out because I wasn't expressing it. And,
you, Michael?
Me, yes, I know. Of all people, can you believe that?
Well, I tell you what, telling the insurance person, trying to, and they're like, they it's not part of their culture, right? So you're trying to communicate it. They're like, so you're like helping support, you know, a conversation between their aunt and them? And I'm like, yes, if the aunt's dead.
I love that. You know, or, you know, I've actually, you know, I sometimes, depending on the, you have to gauge it. Sometimes I say, well, yeah, kind of like a grief counselor.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, okay. I kind of get it. But then if you say, oh, I teach intuitive energy interpretation. And they're going, what is, you know,
yeah,
and then, or, you know, or you just say, I talk to dead people. Like if you say psychic medium, they don't know him, but some, most people will say a medium. They kind of get it for most people. Cause there has been such a growth and understanding, yeah, and a lot of mediums have been on TV. So people do kind of get to know what it's all about, but then you kind of have to fine tune it. But yeah, geez,
I like diffusing them though, Michael, with humor and, yes, the shock, right? Because when you can kind of get past their wall and they're not intimidated or scared, because a lot of people I find won't look me in the eye.
Yeah, because you think you're reading them.
Yeah.
What do you get out of my head? Don't get into my thoughts. Yeah, I know. I've had that happen a lot of times.
These are part of every single day conversations for psychic mediums, right? So And it's great to be able to put yourself in new positions with people who wouldn't expect that conversation, to open that door, to open that exploration, and to kind of defuse the stigma around it. I'm not walking around in tie-dye, and I don't smell like patchouli. And
oh, thank the Lord, that stuff stinks. I'm sorry. That stuff makes me gag more than anything. It's like, get me away from that smell. I don't know what it is, but it's just, yeah, it's something. But yeah, I understand
like
you.
Crystals.
And we all do. Listen, I got so many crystals, I have to stop collecting them. And that's right? Yeah, that's one of the disadvantages of the work that we do. So from there, like, did you take any specific courses? Like, can you talk about some of the specific courses that you took?
I think one of my favorite courses was my trance.
Okay, let's talk about that one. So, where did you take it? Give me the details.
Yeah, Finley Arthur College.
So the Arthur Finley College in UK.
I did an online course with Andre, and he was incredible. I followed up after the course with him for one-on-one connection and support. And I knew that I was different in the way I receive information, because a lot of psychic mediums are clairvoyant. They see where that is my least predominant clair. That's not how I collect information when I communicate to the other side. I'm claircognizant, which learning through these courses through that college is a very rare commodity, but a lot of people are starting to open up this way. It's with the new wave. Because before, it was 80% people stepping into psychic mediumship were predominantly clairvoyant or clairsentience. Whereas I'm claircognizant, it comes in and out. I don't have a processing aspect around it. And also, I don't really remember anything after. So when people follow up with an email or different things like that and don't slow me down during a session, it's like pulling pieces of a dream. I can't remember a lot of it. It's really fragmented for me. But this opened up a new perspective and a new way to channel for myself and give me pieces around it of understanding. So the reason why I kind of clock out, I always say they take my part of me out and just use me as a channel. It's because I'm in a trance state. I'm somewhat conscious. And when I go into a full trance state, I don't remember anything. It's like I was dreaming. I can meditate at work and people will think I'm in a session because I'm talking. So I've started trying to record myself.
That sounds amazing. You know, we have the very similar styles, because that's basically how it started changing for me, because I was mainly a clairvoyant at one time. And then it changed. I was clairaudient and claircognizant too, as well. Of course, being an empath, that was like my superpower at that time too. And it wasn't until I started training and understanding my gifts that is, but it's very much that way too, because I do go into, I can feel myself going, getting a little buzzy. And it's almost like, you know, when you have that glass of wine and you kind of feel that little buzz, it's like, that's exactly, you know, every time. It's weird because we were just discussing this before I go to air. Every time I sit in this chair, even though I'm doing a podcast, my body kind of goes, oh, we're doing a reading. And it's like, no, like, don't get me in a trance. I need to be like present here in front of this camera, in front of my guest. You know, let's leave the trance readings later on. But we're very, very similar that way. At one time when I was really interested in trance channeling, and I took a course on that too as well. And I found it was so fascinating. But then some of the things I just thought, well, I started, part of it was I wasn't trusting it. I was like, is that really real? Am I just making this stuff up in my own head? Or is it just actually that download, that seamless download of information from spirit, higher conscious, wherever, coming through and us speaking it out? So, you know, do you actually do that in your reads now? Or do you find that you blend more when you're doing your mediumship? Do you blend more with the person that you're trying to connect with, so it's an easier way, so you're not guessing what they're trying to figure out? It's more of a kind of a smooth blending of the information.
So I think I'm blending more with the person or their team. A lot of their either loved ones or spirit guides that are stepping forward. When I was doing my healing work, when I was doing what I called Reiki, by the end of my year long doing that, it was full on. Like, I was like 75% trance. because I was walking around and I had to be somewhat aware to be able to navigate where to put my hands and not collapse on the person.
Whoops, but, sorry.
Yeah, when I do try and do trance at home by myself to kind of ignite a stronger connection with that, it's like I go into a hum.
Okay.
I consciously will step into this energetic plane that feels like this dark purple, and it just feels like a frequency of I don't know how to describe it other than that. I am not here. I am not conscious. If you see me, it looks like I'm slumped over, but I'm talking.
Okay.
So it's weird.
No, I mean, yeah, for most people who are watching that, it's weird. Like, I mean, I've known and I had the opportunity to talk to so many different people who are channels. So I fully understand it. And I've seen people, you know, one of my first readings I had was a person who actually channeled where his body, like he lies down, somebody was doing Reiki on him. And then all of a sudden he pops out and spirit starts talking. And it's just the most bizarre thing. And you can feel the energy for people who are doing, you know, or used to energy or more subtle feelings of energy. You can see the energy changes in the room and it just kind of gets a little heavy because you just feel that big energy. It's just like, holy geez, this is crazy. Did you find that your clients, the I guess you would call it Reiki clients, are they, yeah. Do you find that their sessions were deeper and quicker than a traditional Reiki session?
By the end of it, it was quite a difference in the style. In the beginning, it was really like nerves and uncertainty and just learning the different types of energy, because I'm so used to connecting it with my psychic mediumship. It's very different being in somebody's body, feeling the pieces of information. But by the end, I mean, I was pulling out, like, they look like octopuses to me for entities, and they would be shaking on the table, and there was tears at some points. And anytime people would sit up, they'd be like, whoa, I feel so light. It feels like you took so much junk out of me. A lot of people will get disorientated and have to sit for a bit. So my work was taking on a different level, but I also got really frustrated because I was limited on how much a person wants to heal.
Yeah, I think every healer has that, you know, in the back of their head, because you want to do so much. You want to, you know, I always say you want to do the Jesus Christ, and you want to go amen and pray and they're done and you can send them on their way and they're healed. But there's so much layers and depth to it. And it's all based on the individual and their soul, right? You know, sometimes their soul's not ready to let go of this, or they just still need time to process it, but you want to do the best that they can. It's like, and I struggled with that with my own Reiki practice years ago. It was like, geez, what am I missing? Like you said, they would have these great releases, you know, they'd feel better, but they come back the next week and they're still the same, you know, they would, it's just like, there's a repetitive cycle. It's like, you know, rinse, wash, repeat, you know, and here they go again, but they weren't actually doing it. So I struggled with that too. So I fully understand how that is. Are you doing much of the healing work now, or are you mainly focusing on the mediumship?
So I'm focused more on the mediumship. There's the odd client that comes my way that I help with either energetic work or house clearing work. I'm very selective now who I kind of support in that way. I've had some negative impacts with that. Because the thing is, once you start working in the darkness, darkness will take note of you and they will come at you in certain ways. Right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I always thought that shit was bullshit. Like literally, I thought it was bullshit when people say, oh, the dark. And it's like, when you start working with stuff like that, like, and this is why I say people do not mess around with this stuff lately. Do not pretend like, you know, you're just like, oh, let's just try this. No, you can leave yourself open. You know, yes, there is love and light on the other side. And if you start playing around with things, and you don't know how to protect yourself and things like that, you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. So words of wisdom, please.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with this. Don't play around with it like it's a joke or not.
Yeah. Apps, like everybody's like, it was just a Ouija app. I'm like, no, it's energy. It is all energy. So do not, if you don't want to be dealing with this, and let me tell you, you feel helpless in those situations. We had a lot of darkness when I opened up in this house and learned a lot of things. And I mean, my kids got attacked a lot. It was horrific to watch. So it, it's something to learn, but now it's more the one-on-one work. And it's been quite the roller coaster. I know I'm just about on a huge shift here. I can feel it. Everything is pointing to it. Everything's in a transitional, but I don't think people really understand, because we present ourselves on social media, we're connecting, we're informing, we're doing the communication. So people see all this success, but they don't see the dips on the other side. Right. So
yeah, that's the struggle. Like there are days, and as much as I'm trying to stay positive a lot of times too, as well. And I try to, because part of my journey is, you know, try to understand my illness. And mm-hmm. some days I struggle with it. I don't post as much as I, you know, I should. And I'm speaking now. I didn't have my voice, almost 6-7 months ago. So it's a weird thing, because there's a lot of dips and things not really, you know, happening. And, you know, people don't see that, the other side of it. These are the struggles. So how do you stay balanced with your struggles? Because you got a full plate. Like for myself, I only have to really look after myself. I mean, you got a family. So how do you navigate that? You had a rough day. Things have been challenging, right? Because, you know, you face a lot of challenges as that. So how do you stay grounded? How do you help yourself when shit's hitting the fan and you don't know which direction to go to?
Honestly, I think it's my past that's really taught me that, because something I learned with my trance when I connected to that mentor and he did a trance state of me connecting to consciousness. They were like, we know you. We've always known you. You've always unconsciously been learning for this time frame. And that really hit home for me, because I really have been unconsciously learning for my new journey. So the dancing, I grew up as a dancer. I was doing platform, you know, stage work, audience work, putting myself in uncomfortable situations, martial arts, learning energy, learning to be in people's energy, learning to navigate things and read things. A lot of the trauma I went through is teaching the lessons, the complexities, the after ripple effects, relationships with others through those things. So I've been through so much intensity. Even though I'm still experiencing intensity, it's not on the overwhelming realm it used to be, because I've done so much healing and work around it.
So would you suggest a lot of people that would be the main focus is really start their healing work?
Oh, hell yeah. Let me tell you something. I am the biggest advocate of any and every form of healing that works and connects to you, because every healer is a different frequency, different vibration, different specialty, and they will all bring unique pieces to your journey. I'm not meant to be for everybody. I don't want to be for everybody, but I will be a part of your journey that's meant to assist you in those ways or connect you to the next healer. Counseling, huge advocate of communicating, having somebody that's not emotionally connected to reflect it back to you. Energetic work. These are all huge pieces of the whole pie. So when you're used to being in a stressful state, you're used to being in a stressful state, but it's how you navigate it, how you manage it, and how much energy you give to it. Yes, you can have your breakdowns. Michael's been on the phone with me lots.
Well, I think it's a mutual thing too, as well.
Also, we have to have a dump hour. And
yes.
We have our dump hour, and then we breathe, and then we move forward. The only thing you can do is go through it.
Yeah.
Because you will get on the other side of it eventually. It's just how you choose to navigate that journey.
Yeah. I think it's so well said. Like, you know, those lessons that we have in life give us the wisdom to get through things, and we will get through on the other side. You know, it's always funny. Like, you're having a shit day and I get a text and they were on their phone. And it's like, I'm the same way. It's like, I'll text you. It's like, okay, why is my life sucking right now? And then it's like, Michael, are you seeing this? And it's like, okay, yeah, I guess so. So it helps to have people who are both intuitive to help to kind of look at things and give things in perspective. But yeah, it's so true. Like, I mean, there's so many times where I could think especially this past year, it's just been a shit show. If it wasn't for the other experiences, I don't know how I would get through it, but it was those experiences, my past, that led me to help me get through this past crazy one. So
yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But I also refuse to let something kind of hold me hostage anymore. A lot of times in my journey, I used to be a hostage and crippled by either like depression, anxiety, people's judgments, all those sort of things. I'm just at the zone now where I'm like, no fucks given.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Like I find a lot of people in our work hold back. It's interesting because I've been doing a lot of online platform reads, and I was laughing with one of my teammates the other day because I was like, I just got my second put down. Like, I was just like, what they say? And I said, well, Betty online decided to say that wasn't that good. And I was thinking to myself, Betty, what are you doing today that you're putting yourself out there, right? Like, if you think this is easy, have at it.
Yeah, it is. Right? It's always that first, you know, to put yourself out there and speak about it.
Yeah.
And to talk about it is such a challenging thing, because you're trying to come from an authentic place, and you always worried about how you're going to be received, right? There's always that fear, like, because it's so quickly for somebody to get on their phone or on their computer and just type in the most heinous stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or the most negative stuff anyways, and they will definitely judge you and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's tough. We judge ourselves every day anyways. We don't need the
like
the crazies out there.
You don't think I could have done better? I think I could have done better too, right? But I'm only one dynamic of it. But it's getting to the point of like, hey, that was kind of like, I've made it. I'm excited by that. A lot of people would be upset, but my teammate and I were like celebrating it. It was like, yes, I'm getting out there. I'm getting attacked. It's attention one way or the other, right? So you're getting out there. But it's also like navigating being in the now.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't understand. Like, for example, you know, after that one house clearing that I did, and my husband was like, you know, I'm asking you not to do these anymore, because the following day we had this random situation happen and my son was violently attacked, and everything in my body and everything about that circumstance was like, he was targeted and it was darkness that stepped into another child. Like, I knew it. There was no question about it. And the following day I had to pick myself up and do an audience read that was being recorded, and that the TV producer was showing up to see for the show before we do the filming. And there was all these pressures on me, and I had to be present. I wanted to be a mother in that moment, grieving, be with my child, and just like walk away from it all. I woke up the next day and focused, got myself centered, and pushed forward, right? So it's also being conscious of the power of now, and in the moments that you have to be present, you have to choose.
Yeah.
Where you're going to put your energy.
Yeah. And I it's interesting you talk about that, because you have to, it's like, okay, all right, I got to change. I got to switch gear. You got to flick that switch. And it has to be, especially if you're doing public work, it's hard to bring in, because the work that you do can be so emotional anyways. It can be very draining. You know, when you're doing mediumship work, I mean, you have the emotions of spirit. And then I usually, you know, of course, I'm a feeler. I'm going to feel everybody's emotions, right? I'm going to feel spirits, because that's how they dictate a lot of the information. And then I'm going to have the person in front of me that we're going to have to feel, and they're going to be crying, or they're going to be upset, or they can feel anger. There's going to have all these mixed emotions. And then if you have your own stuff, like you had a crappy day, and then you have that on top of that. And then you got to try to navigate that. And it's like, okay, how am I not going to fuck this up in front of these TV people? Because I got to be professional. But you always seem to do it. And I always love this. Spirit always has a great way of just changing everything real quickly. Yeah. And they can flip that switch for you, help you anyways, flip that switch too.
That just makes me think of, like, I remember the day I phoned you and I was like, Michael, I think we're here. I have to declare bankruptcy. I have to throw in the towel. I have to call it quits. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep pushing forward. This is getting too hard. This is terrible. And then that night I got the TV show offer.
Yeah. You got to love that.
I phoned you back and I was like, apparently I'm still in this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I was so happy when you got that, because, you know, one of the things I really admire about it is your tenacity. on doing this. And it really keeps me inspired too. Like you and a few other people, my friend Nicole, and they really inspire me because, this last year, of course, I give myself a little bit of a break, but then sometimes too, I have to get a little tenacious. And it's always, I can always look at you and what you guys are doing because you just keep moving forward no matter what. You're still doing that. And it happened really quickly. Like for the amount of time, from where you started to 2 years, it's really that first year is always it's the worst part, right? It's just getting there. But now things are starting to flow. So the TV show, has it filmed? You're still in the process of filming that, right?
Yeah. So I think when this airs, we will have launched the first episodes.
The first episode. So how many episodes in total? Can we talk about that?
Six episodes for the first season. Yeah.
For the first season. Yeah. So this is pre-recorded shows. So this will be done. This will be a little later in the year, New Year, I should say. Actually be the New Year, actually. It would be the perfect time for it because everything will be out. People can see it. Now, is it going to be on the internet? Like, will you have a YouTube channel associated with it? How's that going to work? Because it is a local television, right?
It is, but they do have an app that you can purchase for $3 a month. So get on it, explore all the incredible programming around it, because they really do have a diverse realm of shows that are great for the community. So people are able to access that. And later on down the road, I will be able to have the rights of it and share it on my YouTube channel as well. So,
okay. So we'll be up there too, as well. So is it like the premise of a John Edwards show?
I don't know. I watched a little bit of John Edwards growing up, and everybody says that I feel similar in his work. So I always feel very honored with that. But we're doing a lot of like my past pieces of what birthed me to this. We are doing a live audience platform read coming up in November here. It's going to be 150 people in the audience, and I'll be reading them, which is no pressure. I got this.
You've done this how many times now? Like I always say, we always have this conversation because you will start panicking sometimes. You get a little stressed out, and I'll get the text and it's like, okay. And it's like, you've done this 100 times. And then all of a sudden you're like a rock star. Things start flowing and everybody's had the most amazing reads. And I always laugh because I know you so well. And then my intuition bells are like going, yeah, just tell her this. Like, she's going to be a rock star. Don't worry. Rock star your way through it. Like, it's going to be like, people are going to be going, what? So right. I always start laughing about that.
So you'll get lots of pieces of that throughout the show. And then I'll be teaching you pieces of connecting to your intuition as well as the processing of spirit, because I have so many people that aren't really aware of the process or the transitional aspect of spirit. A lot of people, their loved one dies and they reach out and they want connection immediately. And I won't engage in that. So I have to politely tell them, you have to wait. There's a reasoning for it, for you and for the spirit, right? We want a connection, but we want it to be a positive one. So
do you find that you're having a lot of those conversations now where people want it instantly? Like the person has only been gone about a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Or even like the next day. And it's like, oh my God, I need to know.
Yeah.
Like really. Yeah.
It's a lot of panic because they need that connection. They need that validation that they're on the other side, they're okay. And they're just so desperate to connect to that loved one that they miss so intensely, because obviously this was not expected. Whereas a lot of times that can do way more harm than good.
Yeah. I mean, from my understanding too, is like spirit needs time to kind of get relaxed on the other side. And it's kind of like process themselves, because I mean, the consciousness, I mean, it's sure it's difficult because we're coming from this world, we're going to the other side. There's going to be some aches and pains, kind of like, it's like kind of get adjusted, because like, a lot of times spirit will sometimes get trapped and they won't know that they're gone. And sometimes they'll be like, oh, okay, I'm here. And then they totally forget, because sometimes it's so wonderful on the other side of, so I've heard. And they just kind of like forget, like, hey, I had a life here. Like, this is really nice. Like they're on vacation. They left the kids at home and they're like, they're so happy now. And it's like, oh, I guess I had family on the other side here. I may have to kind of pay attention to them,
Phone's ringing for how long?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So with the TV show, do you think it's going to go national? Do you think they're going to launch it nationally and then, or sell it out to national?
Listen, you are jumping the gun here. Can we just get to...
Hey, I'll think big, right? Like if something's downloading, right? Nah, I'm just going to say it, you know. I know we're recording this.
I'm going to say yes. There's a lot of predictions around me since day one when I opened up around TV work, and you were one of them that predicted it. So yeah, a lot of people predict I'll have two seasons with my local station, and then from them, it's going to be like
national.
Really, yeah, it's going to be on a bigger scale. And yeah. I'm just in the now, so I'm just slow down because, yes, I want national money, but...
Damn, you want that? You want that Benjamins for right? Sure. I fully understand that. Yeah,
but it's also that a lot of people want fame, but to me, that's the scariest thing.
Oh no, I've never wanted to be famous.
Yeah,
it's people like since like because I've worked in television for so long, and people go like, you know, I don't want to be famous. I'd rather just be comfortably, you know, financially stable.
Yeah,
to be able to do things and move through the world without being famous, like. It's nice to be recognized for the work that you do and be respected by your peers and other things and have some type of, you know, well-rounded, you know, people that follow you or, you know, or as part of your community, but you don't want to be in the airport, people taking photos of you, interrupting you. You miss that anonymity. I have certain words I can't say right now because I have no saliva glands in my mouth to speak. So hold on.
I think it comes with blessings, but it comes with, you know, obviously the exposure to the negative side too. So I want to make sure that I'm not only ready, but my family's ready for it too.
Yeah.
It's just a big jump right now. It's funny because when I go places, people are starting to recognize me and it throws me. People start wanting pictures with me and it throws me because to me, I'm me. And when I'm done a session and they're like, can I have a picture with you? I'm always thrown because I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah. It's such a bizarre thing. Like I've never understood that, you know? But yeah, like I remember years ago, like this is like going back 20 years ago when I was in television, people recognized me for the dumbest stuff that I've done. Some really dumb TV shows. And like, oh my God, aren't you that guy? And I was like, oh God, please, please just, don't like I was like so embarrassed to even do it. It was brutal, but yeah, it's a weird thing. It's fame's a fickle thing, but success is good.
When you're at your kid's soccer game and somebody comes up and they're like, "Hey, I just saw you at this event," and you're like a deer in headlights because you're trying to process which event, which person, and you got kids screaming, and all of a sudden your kid's heading out the door, and you're like, "I'm sorry, I gotta go." It's awkward.
Yeah, it is. But you know, the nice thing is you are in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Now, it is for most people, it's in the middle of nowhere, right? So there is that luxury, you know, that you there's lots of space out there, right? There's not like, you know.
A lot of heart.
A lot of heart. You can just make a drive up north and nobody know you're even there, right? That's the great thing about Saskatchewan. Down here in the big city of Toronto. I don't know how I'm doing it. I think the only reason I'm actually here is because right now that's where I need to be. I think you
need to be in Alberta, Michael. I think, you know, I honestly, like, I don't think Sask is your jam, but I think Alberta and the mountains there are calling you, my friend.
Well, it's, you know, my brother may have something to say about that. He goes, geez, you know, that's the nice thing about having you over here. I could leave and have you leave you in Ontario, but I'm an outdoorsy guy. I love being, I miss nature. And this past year, I really haven't been in nature that much. So, I mean, I go outdoors, but it's not the same, like to be away from people. Like, I mean, I do definitely need that. But again, I knew that I had to be here because of all my treatments and everything else and all the crazy shit that I had to go through. So, but you know, if everything was lining up and the synchronicities there, I'm not going to say no. I'm looking for a big change. So, and the great thing now, most of the work we do is remotely. I don't do one-on-ones anymore. The show is everything's remotely, right? Unless, you know, I had to actually travel for work.
Yeah.
That's the great thing. You jump on a plane and away you go. And that was some of the advantages why I was here, because I was I was only 25 minutes from the airport, so I can jump on a plane. When I was working in the UK, I can jump on the plane to go to the UK. Yeah. It's very easy. So it wasn't a hassle, but
very rare people are doing in person anymore after COVID, especially with our work, because it's such a difference and it's such a blessing doing it from the TV screen or the computer screen, right? Like, it's having that disconnect from being in somebody's energy is nice.
Yeah. I do that because I don't feel as drained. Yeah. I mean, I still feel drained. That's why I always complain a lot of times to spirits, like, why am I not busy? And then it's like, I know why I'm not busy, because they go, hey, dumbass, you know, you're just healing from cancer. You're doing a little too much. You need to kind of relax, because it does take a toll on the body. Like, I didn't realize it. A couple months ago, I was getting pretty busy. And then it's all of a sudden I noticed that I was having a difficult time getting out of bed and things like that. And it's like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Yeah. You need to recover.
Yeah.
It's okay to do a podcast once in a while, but easy up on the trance work. You know what I mean?
We could channel 6 days a week. Yeah. But would our work be quality? No. Would we be able to do it longer than 3 months? No. Would we have an infestation of entities and different energy attachments? Yes. So you can do it, but the people that I do see do it don't have longevity and don't have a stable career and then are hindering themselves in the long term. So, like, you really have to be careful and create some kind of balance. For me, I work 3 days a week and I don't push it past that. But people don't realize I do 2 to 3 hours of meditation before my day starts. I want to make sure I'm a high vibration and clear channel for them to be able to receive, right? So that's a lot of energy connection. And then I'm coming home to chaos.
those are your boys, chaos. Boy. Two young boys, you know, just full of energy, ready to go. It's like, mom, here we go.
I am a full-time referee, and now we have no daycare with the every other day with kindergarten, and Nico's not in before and after. So I get like 3.5 hours extra with them a day. And I'm telling you, I feel the effects.
I know a lot of mothers are out there listening to go, yeah, I know what she's talking about. Oh my gosh.
There's a reason why most people don't open up until later in life, because that chaos is done. But I just do everything backwards.
Great. That's a smart move. Way to go, Cheryl. That was
40 years of parenting. Why not?
Hey. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so good. Oh,
like,
my dear.
A head of like no wrinkles and like beautiful blonde hair, right? That's what hair dye and whatever else we can slap on my face is.
I couldn't imagine having kids. I'm stressed as it is. I mean, I got so much gray hair. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, having a couple of kids.
Throw the cat in there. It's too much.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have any animals. Yeah, animals are stressful as it is, too. That's just like another child you got to take care of.
Oh, my God. Poor Steve just about got hauled out to the garage last night. We were over him.
That's it, man. You're in the garage. That's it. You're out.
Get some mice. Hunt there.
Yes. Yeah, do your job. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Oh my gosh. So what's next? What's the next stages for you? Do you feel like, okay, the television is one way? Are you doing any forensic mediumship at this time? Or
because so my last forensic case that I did, I started channeling the person up to the boundaries of the city, and then I started channeling another case. And it kind of scared me, because I had never had that disconnect in the journey, but the information was so clear, I didn't know what to do with it. So I kind of shut it down for a bit. But then I was connected to a medium who's in Ontario, who started his work with forensic work. So I waited a year for my reading with him. And he connected to me and realized, you know, as most do, I'm a little different. So he's going to mentor with me so I can hone in my processing. But he looked at me and he's like, I'm going away from the forensic and you're going straight to it. But I always told Spirit, when I opened up, I was very specific. I want to help with human trafficking, an advocate for children who don't have a voice. That is the work I want to work in. I want to work in the stuff most people run from.
Yeah, because that's some heavy stuff.
Yeah, if I can be a light and like give the police force any kind of pieces that they need to navigate that they're missing, I want to do that. So I feel in 2024, that's going to be coming my way. That's going to be the next step. But right now I'm launching a course,
okay,
which is something I've been creating for the last couple of years, really honed in. And it's going to be online for anybody and everybody who's an empath, intuitive, stepping into the psychic medium realm. A lot of professionals who have taken this kind of basic kind of information have received tools that they've been missing, like the building blocks, right? So I think one of the benefits of me being new into this journey and knowing and seeing all the like empty gaps a lot of people have, I've kind of honed in on creating something that everybody can use. And this will be a base before working with me on a mentorship kind of capacity. So,
okay. So are you doing mentorship right now?
Yeah, I do a lot of teaching, a lot of supportive people. But I have a lot of people who come to me, as you know, like hairstylists, police officers, right? They're all intuitive. So to be able to empower them in understanding that information or what's theirs and what's not, and using that their to advantage, that's what this course is for. But then also for people who want to expand, understand, and develop these abilities, that's also what this first level course is for them.
That sounds fantastic. And I couldn't think of a better teacher.
Thanks.
You know, yeah, it sounds fantastic. I think that'd be an invaluable tools to have, because a lot of people, you know, have these abilities. They don't know how to navigate them. And it's interesting because, you know, I mentor people, but not in the same way. It's like, I'm like the psychic mentor.
Yeah.
I help with other psychic. I just noticed that. It's like, you know, a lot of people who are coming to me are like super freaks.
Yes.
And I love that. And they have these crazy abilities. It's like, okay, Mike, help me figure this out.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's the new thing. I'm going to be like the psychic.
You should be, because I send the people that are on another level to you, because I recognize immediately this is beyond my awareness right now. And I'm like, you need Michael. He is a resource of all. So,
well, I so appreciate that. And it's so humbling that I could be part of those people's journeys. And I so appreciate it, because I was like, how did you hear about me? And then it's like, oh, Cheryl sent me. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's amazing. But yeah, you have such a beautiful community out there. It's one of these weird things. Like, if I was trying to think of them, like if Saskatchewan in general was kind of like the center of Canada, it's like this beautiful community of kind of unknown healers and psychic people all kind of gathering in this one area of Canada. It's absolutely beautiful. As a Canadian, it's like, this is so neat. And it's like, there's got to be some type of huge vortex that's happening in that area that's causing all this beautiful energy and all these beautiful people, because you have introduced me to some like the most amazing human beings. And I'm always so honored. Like, it's like, and I've been so grateful to just be just a small part of their journey. And it's like, damn, these people are just freaking awesome. I love it. It's just, see them tweak. Yeah. And then to see them tweak and they kind of get it and they get on their journey and they become so empowered. And it's like, yes, love that.
Right. Michael, I love seeing that how many people are like opening up and stepping into it, and the community I'm connecting to. Saskatchewan is a heart-based community. There is a lot of love. There's a lot of community. There's a lot of pain, but there's also a lot of joy on the other side of that too. Healing together and coming together to support each other. Some of the greatest people that I know are birthed from Saskatchewan, and they all, you know, state it's because of the people there that I am where I am. So it's incredible to see, just as a collective, everybody stepping into recognizing that they are intuitive, they are expanding, and these discomforts are for a purpose. But especially in Regina and Saskatchewan in the area, it's really incredible to connect to the community out here.
Yeah, it's so nice and refreshing that if you do that in that type of community, that you can spread and other communities can start doing it too. It's like a little model, stuff like that. So yeah, it's so amazing. You know what, Cheryl?
No, don't. Yeah. I feel like I just read your mind, Michael.
Yes. We're out of time. It's been absolutely amazing. I know. It's like, you know, it's funny. Like we could have had like a million podcasts every time we get on the phone, because this is like our conversations we normally have. But this was an opportunity to actually have you on the show and to talk about a little bit about your journey too, as well. And the other thing was too, is part of this, the reason why I wanted to have you on the show again. So again, you can watch, if you go scroll through the, all the different episodes, I don't know which one it was exactly the number, but Cheryl and I did a detailed one about her forensic mediumship. So if you want to understand that and some of the crazy stuff that she dealt with, you can watch that full episode. But the reason I wanted to have you on is to actually say thank you. You've been an extremely amazing human being in my life, and I'm extremely grateful for all that you've done, especially in this past year during my crisis healing crisis. And I can't thank you enough. So this is one of the ways I wanted to thank you, to let people know how freaking amazing you are, what a beautiful soul that you are. And I hope you get so busy, I hope you get famous, that you can fly my ass over to Regina. We can hang out, you know.
Jason and I already have the cabin idea built for you on our acreage when we move there, because he knows you're coming to live there.
Well, maybe to visit, maybe do a little fishing and stuff like that. But yeah.
Whatever. You've got a home there whenever you want it, because he knows the second hubby is on the acreage too. So
how are you going to manage that? You're going to have two of us together in the same
room.
It's
not me. It's you. How are you?
I'll be fine with it. You know, I'm always the third wheel in most people's relationships anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I'm used to it.
I don't know if I can deal with calmness at this point. That's my life, right? So,
but by then you'll be able to hire people to manage stuff and do that for you. You'll have like little housekeepers. You'll be like this little diva now. There's my housekeeper. There's my gardener. You'll be Miss Hollywood. We'll call you Miss Hollywood now instead of Opie's connection.
Just give me some goats. Give me a nice hot tub with some stars and I'm good.
Goats, hot tub, and stars. Okay. Yeah, that's a really interesting combination. But that being said, Cheryl, I want to let people know, where can they find you, or Opie? Where can they find Opie's connection? Where can they find you? Give me all the links and all that different stuff. Please tell me where they can find you.
So my website at opconnection.ca is where you're going to get all information on all the items I have, events, different services. Everything's there. I will not connect with you over social media to book a reading. So please be conscious, because there's a lot of scammers with my account now. But either that, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and I do have YouTube as well.
Beautiful. And I'll have Opie's information, aka Cheryl. In each episode description. So if you just scroll down, and you go a little bit further, either watching the YouTube video or you're listening on Spotify and Apple, have all Opie's information there. So you connect, book a reading, take the course, you know, just, and if you just want to expand meditate too. Cause I think you're doing, you have meditations recorded now too, don't you?
Yeah. I'm about to launch a couple more next month. So that's exciting too.
Beautiful. All that will be available to you. So I highly, highly, highly recommend. I know she comes highly recommended from everybody, because now she's a superstar and everybody knows her.
Just Opie.
And that's the one thing about we love you, is that you're very grounded. And, you know, I appreciate you so much. So that being said, my dear, I'm just going to close off the podcast. This has been the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott. Thank you so much for tuning in, and goodbye for now.